Now, the Syssitia brings together many different features of Spartan life. On the one hand, it makes real the notion that you should live with your Spartan brothers, but it is also based upon an economic reality. To live in this common mess every day, you have to supply that mess with a certain amount of produce, of grain from your land, for example. That means that your land is worked for you by your serfs, your helots, your slaves, and its produce is then handed over to the Syssition, to the mess hall that you're in. If you cannot maintain your contribution to the mess hall, you are dropped. It doesn't mean you're just kicked out of the mess hall. It means you are dropped from being a Spartiate and you lose your full citizen rights. So this system of common mess halls actually inculcates and reinforces the notion that you must have these slaves working the land and producing sufficiently for you to maintain your status and your rank in Spartan society. So it is based on the coercion of this Messenian population, and yet in the fashion of this Spartan elite, the ideology that this serves is summed up by the term by which the Spartans, the Spartiates, address each other. They call each other the homoioi, the equals, the partners, the same as each other. So there is an ideology of complete equality in that elite warrior band whose status, in fact, is supported by the complete inequality that exists throughout the rest of Spartan and Messenian society. This closing, as I've called it, of Spartan society, this turning away from the artistic openness of the 7th and the 6th century to be replaced by this extraordinarily coercive system of the late Archaic and Classical period, then leads to a number of other institutions as well, which are quite particular to Spartan society. For example, we know from Thucydides that at various times in Spartan history, when foreigners were in Sparta doing business, the Spartan ephors would simply declare that every foreigner must quit the city. This is known as xenolasia, the driving out of strangers or foreigners. And what it surely represents is a deep-seated fear on the part of the Spartans that foreigners would bring with them new and open ideas. Ideas are dangerous. They can change society. The best-known example that we have of such an episode, and I think it illustrates the paranoia at the heart of Spartan society, occurs in the 460s. In 460, a terrible earthquake occurred, and as a result of the upheaval which took place in the aftermath of this, many of the helots went into revolt, and they barricaded themselves onto the top of a place called Mount Ithome, located in their home territory of Messenia. The Spartans, of course, had to deal with this helot revolt because if it was successful, it would have challenged all of Spartan society. And when the Athenians offered to send them help, the Athenians claiming that they were well-versed in siege warfare and would be able to help break down the walls on Mount Ithome, the Spartans accepted that offer of help. And so an Athenian general by the name of Cimon marched to Sparta and then on to Messenia with an Athenian army. But sometime later, he was politely asked by the Spartans to leave. He was expelled. Now, here we have the Spartans facing a serious revolt from their helots, receiving help from Athens, but then actually choosing to expel the Athenians rather than to keep them there and help fight the helots. Why? Well, Thucydides is very clear about this. He says that the Spartans were afraid that the ideas that the Athenians brought with them, the ideas of democracy, the ideas of equality and so forth, would lead to a revolution in Sparta, that these ideas would infect all of the population of Sparta and Messenia, and that the Spartiates would find themselves in a much worse situation than having a single revolt on Mount Ithome.